Ladies and gentlemen.
No, go ahead. Take the intro, baby. The intro.
Welcome to your...
You're done. Get out of here. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Scratch That. We are a tribute to the Old School Morning Show. We have a very special guest on here today. We have Will Murphy back in the seat. Will Unknown again co-hosting with me today, but we have a really, really, really special guest. We have the one and only Donnie Malpass on here with us.
Welcome
to the show. To get things kicked off, we normally ask guests, speaking of tribute to our favorite morning show, mine was 89.7 WMHK in Columbia, South Carolina, where I grew up. Drop, what was yours?
DC 101, Elliot in the Morning, DC.
Donnie, do you have one?
Oh, man. I think it'd have to be Z104 back in Virginia Beach.
Z104.
Shout out if you guys are still going strong.
Oh, man, I used to sneak that channel when my parents weren't home. I love the good Z104.
What was on Z? Was that like what we got?
No, it was like in the 90s. It was all like those la da 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 da. La da da da, you know, La Bouche and Amber Tonight is the Night. You, dude, all those pop hits in the 90s.
I don't know. I wasn't born in the 90s.
Well, you will know them because they're popular again today. What's up with that? Donnie, how many songs can you think of that have been done in the 90s and redone in the last 3 years by pop artists from the 90s?
So I don't know how old Will is, but I am now to the age where we have a generation behind us. So this is the first time in our lives that we have nostalgia. And it's hitting our people hard. And all the late 90s, early 2000s are all everything. The movies, the songs, everything is happening right now. And people are loving it.
Because this is the first time. That nostalgia for me is probably Levels by Avicii. No, I'm kidding. That's a little too much.
When did you graduate high school? We've never covered this.
2011.
I'm 30. What are you? Are you? You're 03, right?
04. Yeah.
You're 04. All right. I was 03. Man, not that. You know, 8 years. You're just it's on the cusp of that decade.
But it's that 20. It's the 20 years. It didn't affect me at 10 years, but that 20 year mark, it just seems like it's hitting hard. Like everything. Like yep. I had even forgotten about the Chainsmokers were so big in like the teens, like the 15, 16, yeah. 18, and you know, all those hits they had, like right after Avicii, I guess.
Yeah. I remember we got married in 2014. And I know, sorry to date myself there.
No, I was just thinking about
where you were. So 2014, I remember we went to London, our first year being married. And Roses by Chainsmokers came out. In my opinion, very similar how Levels was for Avicii in that sense of EDM. I would say Roses really changed that cut time EDM, you know, and I where it's got more of that like chopped up dance section instead of like that do, do, do. And I mean, I think only from there it really grew, like where you got Marshmello coming to the market, mm-hmm. making big, that's more like hardcore EDM cut stuff, but dude, Chainsmokers, I totally forgot about them until I saw the bill for Loving Life, and I was like, oh wow,
they're back.
You're going, yeah. Right?
Yeah, well, we're only going tomorrow night, Friday night,
okay.
Which is Post Malone and Chainsmokers and Dashboard Confessional.
I like Dashboard. I know Dashboard.
Dude, Face Down.
So speaking of, what kind of music would you say you like to listen to, and then what kind of music has inspired you to get into music, if that makes sense? We've also been asking karaoke songs, so if you have a go-to karaoke song, you can slip that in.
Oh, Donnie can sing.
Okay, so there's been like three questions here. So first couple of questions.
Welcome to the dumpster fire.
So it depends on the mood, man. As a kind of not current DJ, as a former DJ or whatever you want to call it, it was all about the mood. And I have like a different type of music for every mood. You know, I definitely have the Back to the Crib playlist for chill, Back to the Crib, you know, the Trey songs and Chris Brown, all that.
What,
you know?
What's that playlist called, if I can ask?
It's Back to the Crib.
Or the late night. It wasn't always called Back to the Crib, but we'll leave that out for now.
We'll have the little eyes emoji in there in the title. But Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it's always been about mood, and that's kind of what inspires me. You know, like you're feeling a vibe, and then that music just kind of amplifies that for you.
So I can only assume then your XM presets in your car is like playing roulette.
Yeah.
It's all
it's
over
more
the place.
Spotify these days.
Everything from The Message to Diplo 53 to Stage, you know, whatever that is, the disco channel. You got disco on your Sirius presets?
When I would, like, after DJing a wedding and I have, like, an hour drive from the middle of farm nowhere or whatever.
Give it a PTSD, sorry.
I was like, I need something to keep me going, but, I'm tired of lyrics. So I would, like, play Lindsey Stirling. She, like, ooh, the electric violin.
Yeah,
she
would get, like, I got really the vinyl right behind me, actually.
Yeah, I really got into that because it was, like, it would keep me awake, but it wasn't.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing.
I know where you was laughing. You was like, dude, you're such a loser.
You just said the hour drive home from a wedding. And the last wedding I did to validate that I'm such a great wedding DJ that I'm not, I listened to the song that I think hit the most on the dance floor for an hour straight, probably 30 times.
Just Lindsey
like,
Stirling?
It was that good. No, I think it was like Sexy Girl by Akon. This is a clean talk show.
No, but I resonate with you, bro. Like there were. Still are some nights like you play so much dance music at a wedding or at a venue. Like, dude, I'm pumping either Christian music, weirdly enough, on the way home, maybe to cleanse my soul. I'm not joking, dude. I'll put Elevation on in the car or Hillsong or something like that. If not, I'm screaming my lungs out to Taking Back Sunday.
Yeah. I definitely have those when you're alone in the car, playing that dashboard, you know, playing all that, yeah.
You got to get centered again, man. So
we want to hop into some technology stuff, right?
Like, yeah, take it.
My first question, because I am absolutely intrigued by this, and technology for me is something that I'm trying to learn. Only 2 years ago, I was printing out boarding passes, so that's where we're starting. That's a joke, but... so SickKick, who I really like to follow on social media... did a mashup, if you will. I don't even know if that's the right word. Basically took Freddie Mercury from Queen, a song that he did and produced, and put Michael Jackson over it. But actually had them going basically back-to-back with fake AI for MJ over the song. And it actually sounded unbelievable to the point where I was like, if they had done this in person, like, this would have been amazing. But that was a long explanation. Your thoughts on... is AI good for the industry, and how can you use it, for the future? Because I feel like it's a necessary thing to be a good DJ, truly. I don't think it's an ultimate thing, but I think it's a necessary thing.
Is it a good, an evil, or a blessing and a curse?
Yeah, so I guess to give a little quick history before I, like, get into that answer is...
Professor Dunn.
For Will, if we don't know each other that well, but I have about 20 years of IT experience under my belt, so I actually am pretty familiar with a lot of the different technology in general, not even just the technology and DJ part of it. But so if you're breaking down these the AI models, the LLMs are called, the large language models, and they tune them for specific things. You're just giving it data and you're tuning it. So they're giving it all these artists songs and information so they can recreate everything. So from a creativity standpoint, that's really cool, right? Because you can get so creative. You could change the lyrics with their voice. You could do crazy stuff. I think there's an Instagram called There I Ruined It.
Yeah,
and he just purposely, ruins. He's got like Frank Sinatra and like, Ying Yang Twins song or right, something like that.
Yeah.
And just totally destroying it. But from a creativity sense, that's cool. You can, for a producer, for DJ, we could get creative. But from a copyright standpoint and from someone who made that initial song and now someone's able to essentially knock it off and not get paid, not get paid or royalties for it, that's where there's a big, lawsuits and all sorts of things going on around that. Once they can figure that out to where... the U.S. never even figured that out as a whole anyway. Like, if we were streaming during COVID, they were doing all those takedowns. The only one that really figured it out was the company in Europe, Mixcloud. And you pay your $10 fee a month, and they'd actually have a way to give royalties back to the music or if a DJ played someone's song, they could give royalties back to those artists via that subscription fee. But they were never really able to do that. There's some loophole over there. So I guess the blessing and a curse, like, I think for us, it's really cool because we can be creative and crazy. But are you ever going to be able to, like, actually release that song that you messed with? Like, probably not. Right. No, and if you do, it's going to... Yeah. Like, what was that big one that came out by Drake, but it wasn't Drake?
What?
That first one. You guys remember that?
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah.
I live
on it. It was all over. It was some, like, diss record for another rapper. He didn't make it.
I'm too busy watching Bravo TV than to actually engage in the craft.
There's been a lot of, mixtapes and hip-hop going on. A lot of diss tracks going on.
Interesting. All right, so that brings me...
Long answer. I think that answered.
No, that was solid, but, yeah, I got a follow-up for that. Okay, so with the AI, with the changing in technology and enhancing, and now we got standalone controllers, which you helped me really comprehend and get going with mine, which I love. I love a good standalone. I love having the Wi-Fi capability to pull music in on the fly, which, I mean, if I were to say that to the guy, and he knows about it, the guy who had me on the come up, I mean, this dude used to carry 8 crates. He would unload his van before a gig and have 8 crates of vinyl with him. And, like, you would have to go and digitally crate dig after that on record pools or even just basic download services to get the radio edit versions before they had all these remixes. Okay, so we have this evolution in DJ technology. It's now allowed for stems and all that on the fly. So when you're DJing, you could pull out stems and make your bootleg mashups on the fly. With all this said, we've already talked about the bedroom producer kid and all that, and how all you need is a MacBook, which hopefully that changes. And you get more Fred again, Rufus Del Sol. But coming back to the question, is this enabling the DJ skill capability? Is this something that is going to allow too much garbage into a talent pool?
Potentially, but garbage is, it's different to everybody, right? Like, all the stuff that's going on TikTok with those short clips and how the consumption of music from the way, the younger crowd, kind of absorbs music. And now that's what they expect. They expect music in 30-second clips on the dance floor.
Right.
And, it's kind of tough to live mix and stem and beat match. And if you're doing everything by ear and the old, OG way, or, without all the technology, that gets really difficult to kind of keep up with. I think I kind of got off topic of your question, but anyway.
All right, so scratch that for a moment. I want to pivot into something that we weren't planning to talk about. So this is just, again, my dumpster fire coming. All right, so you threw a music festival. Good looks. It was awesome. Thank you for inviting me to play with you. I'm actually wearing the jersey that I wore when I was playing with you that day. I would love nothing more than to get the bandwidth and the resources in my life to throw a music festival. That would be a dream for me. It's like, I think probably a lot of DJs dream about it because all you do is want to curate the best set list when you're DJing. And how cool would it be to actually build the bill that is going to provide that set list for thousands of people? That, for me, dude, that's my heartthrob. But what was your favorite thing about planning that festival? I know you had a lot of great moments through the whole experience from conception to the day it actually happened and the days after it happened with the friends that you made that headline, but what was your favorite thing about that whole process?
Obviously, having somewhere, and that's, I've been doing different types of events for 15 years, for charity events to, bar events and all that kind of stuff. So any event that I've been able to bring people together or friends together to have a good time, that's, I've always kind of taken on too much when it comes to that. And I'm more worried about the event itself than actually me enjoying it. And when we did Good Looks and it was actually happening, even though there's a lot of stuff going on, I was actually able to enjoy it and just enjoy. And, would we like thousands of people there, like a Love and Life festival and all that, with their marketing budget and money? That'd have been awesome. But right. Our few hundred people that we had there that were all our friends and family and friends of friends, just being able to throw an event Usually if you're throwing that type of event, you're not able to perform, but luckily I had, you know, we had a good staff and had a good partner where, you know, I was able to act, you and I were able to, you know, perform, as well as I wouldn't recommend it, by the way, if you're hosting a festival and performing during that festival.
I was going to ask you in hindsight, what would you change? So it would probably be that.
I enjoyed performing it, but, probably would have taken myself out of that to focus more on the festival and not just being center stage, literally.
Well, thank you so much, man, for that opportunity. Even as of this week, I was playing clips of that for somebody. I had so much fun working with you on that, dude. You're massively talented in the planning, in the talent. Like, very few guys have the bag that you have, Don. Like, for real, like, the creativity, the analytics, and then you're one of those perfectionists in a way where you troubleshoot as well. Like, you normally don't get all three of those, that pyramid in project management, but you got all three. And I think, honestly, like, you're one of those guys that does anything that they put their mind to. And I dig that, man. I really do. So it's been
awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, people, you know, you can do anything you set your mind to, but yeah, you really can. It's just, you got to learn. And luckily in our day and age, we have, you know, most people have already done it. There's a YouTube video for it, or there's a masterclass, or, you know, something. Yeah. As long as you're persistent and pay attention to those details. But yeah, man, you're welcome. That was, thanks for being there, and thanks for inviting your friends and family. And I know I saw, your little guy drumming to us.
I was about to say that's a core memory now for me. It's still like, I get emotional thinking about it. Like, he still talks about that weekly. My type, when I pointed at him, like, there's just something about that, and having them engage and not be afraid of being near the stage. You know, like, you got to think, like, yeah, I know Virginia Grace was all into it as well, but there's not a lot of kids wired like our kids that, like, flock to that type of stage insanity. But he, all he talks about now is his big show. And I love that, dude. So thank you. Thanks for letting me be a part of that, because I know that that's now a core memory that I'm glad that he was just old enough to still retain that, because he, you know, he's at that age where, you know, he doesn't remember what he got for his birthday, but he remembers that show. So
yeah
man, thank
mine
you
was
for
too,
that.
Mine was too young to remember. So
yeah,
maybe I have to throw another one later.
There
on.
Will be more. Sure. That's going to be my question is, what's Donnie's thoughts for his next event?
I think now I have to get past, you know, the little kids have to get a little older. So get some time back in my life to be able to focus. Cause you know, having a day job and a family is two full-time jobs. You know, there was a gala that I really wanted to do. I wanted to do a charity gala, and, I was planning it before COVID hit, and I haven't told many people this, but I had it planned out. I had the theme. There was somebody in Charlotte that kind of inspired me to do something new, not doing the same bar crawl every year after year after year. I wanted to do, you know, something different. And unfortunately his event went terribly wrong because he had poor management, but the idea behind what he wanted to do was actually really cool. It was a, I won't say his name, but I'll say the type of event. It was called Charlotte and the Chocolate Factory. And at the time North End was really, I mean, it's really popular now, but it was just becoming really popular. And so he'd rented space there. He had had all this, like, hundreds of pounds of chocolate. He had, like, a, I think there was a hot air balloon you could take a picture in that was, like, staged. You know, like, all these Instagram moments, big gala, big music, you know, DJs, all that kind of stuff. So I really wanted to do gala, and I still would like to do that. And now I'm married to a former wedding planner, event coordinator as well. So I'm sure some point we could probably knock that out, but
I can't wait. I your wedding was truly one for the books that I will forever remember. Everything from the venue, the decor, the food, the entertainment, which I know you're tied closely to those guys, which I guess pivots me to, I guess, what we can wrap with. You're really tied closely to a lot of guys who are on the cutting edge of everything DJing. Best practices, gear, you name it. I know you're really close, and you follow the DJ Vault very closely. Joe Bunn, Jason Janai, Nick Spinelli, like all the guys who do a lot of big things and generally are big players and pushing the envelope on what's next. What is next, Donnie? What's next for the music scene, for the DJ scene, for the producer, any of those? What do you think's on the horizon?
I think that everybody's different. Don't get me wrong. And when you're getting married in your 20s, you don't know. Like you've probably barely even been to any weddings. So you don't know what to expect from a wedding DJ. So you just see your other friends that get married and you see other people like your social media. And I really do think, you know, for the good and the bad, you know, social media does push a lot of different trends and things. I think people in the Northeast, like SCE Event Group, Jason Janai, Brian, I can never remember his last name, Brian B up in New York area, does all the luxury weddings, Joe Bunn, you know, these guys that have their own very successful multi-op, multi, you know, franchise, you know, DJ companies where they're sharing their knowledge and they're all collaborating to like, you know, help each other out. And so if these guys are, you know, setting the bar here and they've got 3,000 DJs that are following them and they're, you know, oh, I want to get to that bar, then yeah, I think between them seeing other DJs have like a light show with their wedding that's automated and all the different effects and not just showing up with a banquet table and, you know, just going through the motions. I think guys like that, and I think social media are like two things that really just push the next level. And I think technology helps with that, right? As a single op guys, like I think both of you guys, I know Kyle's more single op, but Will, doing the whole wedding by yourself, like most of these larger wedding DJs don't do that. They have 2 and 3 and 4 people that are managing these events.
And charging 2, 3, 4 times the amount that we charge.
But if you're trying to, you know, provide that same level of show because someone saw Jason Janai on TikTok or went to New York, like, hey, I want that. Can you do that? You're not going to say, no, I can't do that. You're going to say, yeah, I can do that for a cost. But you're still going to try to figure out how to do it as efficient as possible. And, you know, having an automated light show and having equipment that you can easily get in and out of a place and maybe even hire an assistant. But that's kind of a long answer for your
question. No, that was good. So let me narrow it real quick. DJ technology, what do you think's next? You don't need to know, but what do you think is next?
I think it's just going to keep getting better slowly and slowly. You know, some of the technology we've already had for a while, we just weren't using it or using it correctly. The streaming services, instead of having to download, you know, thousands of songs on your computer locally and then try to keep up every month with the latest and greatest because we're moving so fast. Oh, man, I have a streaming service that connects to Wi-Fi straight from my controller and I can grab this song for this request and make this person stop asking me about Bad Bunny from their phone.
Oh, you took it out of my mouth. I'm like, another Bad Bunny request. And when they hold the phone up, play Bad Bunny. Oh,
yeah, God. Yeah, so many. So stuff like that, getting better and faster, stronger type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, initially when they did them, it was just like the regular mix, the regular radio edits of these songs, you know, and all the DJs, of course, want 3 edits and the intro edits and, you know, the bootleg and all that. So now I think like BeatSource and some of those others have gotten like permission and copyright and able to do more of that stuff. So that, I think that's just going to get better and have like another, you know, another card in your deck to be able to pull from. I think the AI will help somehow. You know, maybe it'll help streamline creating all these, you know, 18 different playlists for your wedding. You know, you don't have to spend a whole evening on it for your cocktail, your dinner, your ceremony, putting everything together. Maybe that'll help. You know, if you have a template and kind of give it, and once it has the information, it can usually do pretty well.
Like I know I've been using Copilot lately for various different things for work. It's the first real AI. Like I tried to get into ChatGTP and I just struggled. I was like, I don't know how or when to use this. Other than the only way that I was thinking is like, I talk to Siri all the time. I ask Siri for help all the time with everything. Like I just couldn't get like around it. But now that like, because of work, I use Copilot. Man, if you could tell something to build a playlist off of a certain style of music for cocktail hour on the fly, like, holy cow, because you're right. We manually curate that in playlists and drop it in, and oh my gosh, that would be the dream come true. Yeah.
Yeah.
What you got for him?
No, I love it. I feel like everything, I've learned everything from him, which obviously he's learned from you. So we're appreciative of that. And technology is probably a weakness of mine. I mean, I feel like that's something that you have to be innovative and creative and, like, you know, be curious is probably the right word about what's coming. Because the reality is, like, electronic music, in my opinion, is on the rise and only becoming more popular. And that's attributed to some of AI and certain things that, you know, you're able to produce without being a true, like in my case, I'm not a true skilled musician, even though I wish I was. But there's certain elements of learning technology that can really carry me, hopefully, to a level without ever being as musically gifted as like a drop or most guys really are. So I'm more curious. I didn't talk as much as I normally do because I was sitting and listening during this one, which was helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see where it goes. Every 6 months it's jumping forward, and I could easily see somebody tuning, and the DJ market is kind of a niche type of field. So where you're putting in time and resources into it, I think it sometimes can move a little slower, but I think if you took some sort of model and tuned it for, to do what the light guy does at, you know, Trio, and maybe create visualizations on the fly, you know, and follow your music. So you have some add-in that connects to Serato or Record Box or whatever, and then it's doing your light show and your visualizations for you.
Yeah, that's really
know,
cool.
You know,
and you bring up a good point, because were you telling me about it? Something, is it called the switch or something? Sound switch? Or man, there was a lighting thing that you were telling me about. That
yeah, Jason Janai. I was trying to get there. The technology wasn't there yet. I did not like using the sound switch or the Show Express software like on a laptop to run a light show in addition to another laptop. And if you've got a 3 or 4 man team and you're running, you know, all sorts of stuff, like, great. But Jason Janai, what was it called? It's called like the Wolf Mix or the Wolf Mix 1 or something, but it's a little standalone unit that you just plug your DMX into and your DMX universe into it. And you set up all your shows and you program everything within this device. And you can still do stuff on the fly, like black out the room or strobe, and you can change colors on the fly. But overall, you can set up your light shows to automate. And it's just in this little teeny device.
So you have to program it yourself manually? Like, I want this light to do that and this light to do that for this song? Or is it more like it will figure that out for you?
So both. You could, if you're like, hey, I know DMX, I know how to program, like, these 10 channels to go for this.
A guy like me, talk to Lemonade Stand this for me, bro.
Yeah, if you weren't programming it yourself, which you could do, Sound Switch, and I'm not sure what the Wolf Mix as well, but the Sound Switch has auto scripting. And I guess it kind of uses like a version of AI to tell it, hey, this is hip hop music. This is my hip hop crate. Go ahead and program all these shows for me.
So it probably reads the genre, the BPM, and the energy level of the track.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's not 100%. So you kind of have to go in and tune it. I'm sure you remember DJing with me, but I like very dramatic light shows.
Yeah.
When I
drum with you, they're very dramatic light shows.
Yeah. So I was like, enhance, you know.
Yeah. Now I remember you you put together a banging display for when we did New Year's at Hoppin that New Year's Eve. That was pretty awesome. I was really blown away with what you did in your house for that production-wise. So it made things, it changed things. Anyone could have a New Year's DJ. Anyone can have a DJ-drummer combo. But man, when you brought the light show with it and then you had the cold sparks, like, Donnie doesn't do anything halfway.
I love that.
So, yeah, man. But
it wasn't financially smart, but it was fun.
Yeah, but
I didn't upsell. I just brought the stuff.
All right, last question for you. Last question. Are you going to... This is... Everyone's hanging on this one question.
Okay.
Everyone.
Okay.
Everyone. Are you going to come back to DJ?
Not this year.
Not this year. So he's saying there's a chance.
Sounds like next year.
That's my Dumb and Dumber for you.
I took it as next year.
2025? Is it like on a fiscal calendar, or are we talking like... You know, annual.
Let's just say I kept my controller.
Yeah. Okay.
And by 2025, B3Bs will be in, so we'll add them. Actually, I'll get added into the original B2B. So I'll be, yeah, we'll all do it together.
Yeah, yeah, we'll just rotate between drums and.
You got to learn saxophone, I think.
Saxophone?
Yeah.
We were talking about sax the other day on the show.
I wish I could play it. God, it's such a cool instrument.
You're a fiddle guy.
So we saw two friends last week at Trio.
Yeah.
And they brought a saxophonist.
Yeah, yeah. He's good, too.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, they dropped him for what, like an hour?
Yeah. He coming in and out.
They came from cool. What, Clemson? Mm-hmm. Were you telling me about that?
I think so.
And they dropped him for an hour for $50K?
Sounds about right.
That's wild. I mean, so from the... I need receipt checks, and I don't think anyone has these receipts, so I'm going to say it. They went and played Clemson at Clemson for some festival and hit 75K for their set there. They then run down to Trio and bang out an hour for 50K. It's 125K that day.
I mean, I remember when they used to have the Gravediggers Ball, which was the big Halloween festival, kind of in the parking lot where they're doing the Love and Life Festival,
yeah.
You know, uptown. And they would get, you know, to get some of the big acts on a Saturday night, they'd have to agree to get them charter them a private jet.
Wow.
So, like, Diplo one year came, and he finished at, like, 10:30 or 11 because of the outdoor ordinance and got on a jet, went to Miami, and closed out Miami. You know, jeez. And so I'm sure he made, you know,
that's really ironic that he came in for or flew out on a PJ for that. But then after Burning Man next year, he was lucky to catch a ride in the back of somebody's pickup truck. Did you hear about that? Did you see that?
No. Mm-mm.
Yeah. So Burning Man got flooded out last
year. Oh, yeah. Okay,
they hit
yeah,
the rain. Him and Chris Rock, I think, I think it was Chris Rock.
He went straight to Echo Stage from Burning Man.
Barefoot, covered no in shower, mud, flew in. And then DJed Echo Stage in DC, completely covered in mud from Burning Man. So, you know, I give him a little credit for doing that, but
no doubt.
That's got to be a stressful ass day right there. So, but yeah, man,
still making that money.
Any wisdom you want to leave us with?
Oh man, I like what you guys are doing. I definitely appreciate the invite onto the podcast. I am curious. I saw you guys. Are you releasing music as well now?
Yeah.
We are sitting on a lot of music.
20?
I would say for the next month it's going to be daily releases, but if not every other day releases. We're sitting on a lot.
Yeah.
And we don't release, the thing is we've become big
snobs.
So,
we're picky now.
Well, no.
When we started out, we were just.
He's just like me in the sense of he's a perfectionist and we were grinding our gears on one song. And I just have this theory as far as social media goes that like, it's truly a mass product. So the more we can do, say we put out 10 8 out of 10s versus 2 in our mind 10 out of 10s, the 8 out of 10 wins every day because it's just at the end of the day, it's a numbers game. It's putting out more resignation. So we're focusing on not grinding a whole day on one song and just, you know, hey, 2 hours, bam, keep moving
on. See, and I'm the opposite. And so for me to get around that, like, it's been tough, but I will say, the quality of product has gotten better as we've gone on. I mean, dude, I sampled stuff with you the other night. I sent you like a handful of tracks and, you know, you gave me some honest feedback, which was nice. And, you know, I gave that to Will. And, yeah, man, but it's getting easier as we go on. But thanks for asking about the hits, man. We'll be dropping them soon.
Are you guys going to be performing as a B2B?
We have.
TBD.
We have one in May, in middle of May that could be, it's one of the best spots in Charlotte, in my opinion. I just got to get him to agree to come out with me.
We'll figure it out.
It's coming. Right?
I think the end goal is to drop a girl talk meets Angelo, the kid, two friends style album to a degree.
It's funny you say that is because when you sent me those few songs, I immediately wanted to go say, what are you trying to be like White Panda or Girl Talk? That's what I.
Yeah, a little bit. And then, you know, our rungs in the ladder is re-record the vocals and redo the vocals ourselves, have people come in and then reproduce the instrumentals ourselves and make our own original edits from scratch. And then maybe do a couple of originals this year. And once we get that done, we'll think about performing.
Our kind of last thought, tell us if you agree with us, is mashups, covers of songs that obviously are popular, and then original songs to get on Spotify where we build everything from the ground up. Like, if we can't get mashups right, we probably shouldn't be doing covers. And if we can't get covers right, we probably shouldn't be doing originals. Like, that's our thought process. So,
was that a question?
Yeah, like, do you, well, that's our thought. Do you think that's a good, like,
process? I love his dry humor.
I like to think of it as witty humor.
You are very witty.
Yeah, man. I think everybody's path is different. You know, sometimes it seems like, you know, like a marshmallow or like the psychic, you know, just has this thing, right? Like, he has that brand, has that thing, like White Panda, mm-hmm. you know, marshmallow. They put on the mask, they put on the helmet, and they're this brand, and they just sold that brand the whole time. You know, that's great for them. If you're trying to figure it out and, you know, kind of evolving and, hey, where's art and growing and getting an audience. And yeah, I think that's a good path to go. I like the mashups. I think you're going to have a hard time, like, I don't say getting famous off of mm-hmm. like doing the mashups. Cause you're not going to actually be able to like release that.
Right.
Cause of the whole copyright stuff.
We won't be able to sell it.
Yes. So, but really it comes down to these artists that are producing their own music, and those are the ones that, you know,
yep.
get the hits. So yes, I think, you know, somebody like, I don't know, Cheyenne Giles, who came here for our Halloween show a couple years ago. He's really good with the heavy, heavy mashups. But then he does his own stuff too. So, and you can always, you know, something like that where you're back and forth, you know, release an original, have some mashups, and throw it all on social media for marketing purposes. And
yeah,
then you know, maybe get lucky. And
right.
You
know, that's the whole thing. It's about getting lucky, total. Somebody hearing it, somebody seeing it. And you know, that's kind of our thing with putting these songs out and tagging people too, is hopefully maybe Pipe Dream, one of these artists hears a remix of it and they're like, hey, would you want to do an official? You know what I mean? I mean, big dreams.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't know if you know Moonlander.
Yeah.
He got to do a song, like a remake of that Iaz Replay song. He did a new take on it, but he did it with him.
Nice.
And so he was able to actually release it, and it was like,
that's awesome.
Kind of like a sexy version of it. I don't know. It was cool.
Love a sexy flip. So, well,
I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, man, Donnie, thanks so much. A lot of great wisdom today. A lot of good advice, and just always good to catch up with you, dude. You've been a ride or die for me since I've been in town. And yeah, man, you're super, super great people. So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys, and wish you the best with your duo podcast and music.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Keep it real. Keep it safe.
Keep it real safe and scratch that. So thank you, Donnie.
See you.
Have a great one.
Later, guys. You too.